general kitchen kosherist questions. Number one, what is the status of onions cut with a fleshik knife? Does it make one fleshik after eating the onion? So the halacha is that when you cut an onion with a fleshik knife, the onion cannot be eaten with milchiks. But if you eat that onion, you will not be fleshik for 6 hours. So if I cut an onion with a fleshik knife and I put it in a salad, I may not put cottage cheese or feta cheese in the same salad. But if I eat a salad, a parv salad, with an onion that was cut with a fleshik knife, I can have milchiks right afterwards. Number two, can I use a parv knife to chop food on a fleshik or milchik cutting board? And then what is the status of my food? If I'm making a salad, I want to serve it as parv, but I'm using my fleshik cutting board because it's bigger, and I need to cut an onion with my salad, so I use a parv knife. If you're using a fleshik cutting board, you should use a fleshik knife. If you're using a milchik cutting board, you should use a milchik knife. If you have a parv knife, you should use a parv cutting board. When you cut vegetables, celery, cucumber, zucchini, tomato, on a fleshik or milchik cutting board, it stays parv. As long as the cutting board and the knives are clean, everything is cold, it stays parv. The only issues you have are with onions, garlic, lemon, and that should be cut parv with a parv knife on a parv cutting board. If you don't have a parv cutting board, use a plastic or paper styrofoam plate. Number three, if a parv pot became dairy or fleshik, can it be kashered back to the parv status? So there is a halacha that we don't kasher dairy pots and make them fleshik, or fleshik pots and make them parv. It'll just get confusing. But if a parv pot became milchiks or fleshiks, I think you can kasher it back to the parv status. Number four, if one prepares food that is parv and uses all parv utensils in the preparation process and places all of the food into a parv pot and then stirs the food with a fleshik or milchik spoon that is cold, is the food and pot still considered parv? Everything is parv except for the stirring spoon. Now, in the parentheses, it says that it's cold. If everything is cold, if everything is cold, all the ingredients are cold, and the pot is just a pot to stir it in, then of course nothing happens just because you used a fleshik or milchik spoon. If it's cooking, everything is parv, like a parv soup in a parv pot, and by accident you stirred it with a milchik or fleshik spoon, then the fact that the spoon was cold before you put it in the pot doesn't make a difference. The question is, what is the status of the food in the pot? So the halacha is, the pot will remain parv. The pot's not going to become milchiks or fleshiks just because you stirred the pot, if everything in the pot is parv. As far as the food is concerned, if the spoon has not been used in 24 hours, then the food is perfectly parv as well. If the spoon was used in the past 24 hours for fleshik or milchik, then it depends on how much food is in the pot. If it's a big pot of soup, all parv, hot, and I stir it with a ben yomo or recently used fleshik or milchik spoon, if I have 60 times more soup than spoon that went into the pot, the soup is perfectly parv. If it was used in the past 24 hours, and I don't have shishim, that means it's a small pot, I'm making, I don't know, 1-2 quarts, and I put in a big spoon, so then it's going to have the status of fleshik kalim. Again, it will not change the status of the pot. The parv pot stays parv. But as far as the food is concerned, the only time the food will not be a straight parv is if the spoon you're using is a ben yomo, that means it was used within the past 24 hours for either milchiks or fleshiks, and it's not batel b'shishim, that means you have a small amount of parv and it's a large spoon. So again, if the spoon hasn't been used in 24 hours, then for sure everything stays parv. Even if the spoon was used in the past 24 hours, the pot remains parv, and the status of the food will depend if the spoon was batel in the soup or whatever is in the pot or not. Number five, if my largest plastic mixing bowl is fleshik, but I haven't used it in 24 hours, Can I mix a parv batter in it, like brownies, and the baked goods remain parv, or are they fleisha kalim? So halacha is, if everything is cold, this mixing bowl is cold, everything is cold, then even though it's fleishik, the brownies are 100% parv and has no status of fleishik kalim. You can eat them and drink milk at the same time. This is even true if the bowl had been used in the past 24 hours. It makes no difference. Even if the bowl was used in the past 24 hours, as long as it's clean and everything is cold going into it, it will not have any impact on the parv that you put into it. The parv remains 100% parv because everything is cold and clean. As long as it's cold and clean, it will not have any effect on the brownies. The next several questions have to do with countertops. Can I put a hot parv pot down on my countertops, either fleishik or milchik side? Same with hot parv utensils. The halacha is that we try not to put a pot directly on a countertop that's milchik or fleishik, unless the pot is milchik or fleishik. So obviously a milchik pot you could put right on a milchik counter, a fleishik pot can go straight on a fleishik counter. If it's a milchik pot, you don't want to put it on the fleishik counter or vice versa. And even the parv pot should not be put directly on the fleishik or milchik counter. If you have a parv counter, then that's fine. Now, if you did put the hot pot, the parv pot, on a fleishik or milchik counter, nothing will happen if the counter is clean. As long as the countertops are clean and dry, then there's no transfer of flavor by putting down a hot pot on top of it. Again, l'chatchila, we don't do it, but if it was done, there's not going to be any transfer of flavor, and the same is with hot parv utensils. I would not recommend doing it, but if it happened, it would be okay. By the way, the same is true if I actually put a hot fleishik pot on my milchik counter, or vice versa, a hot milchik pot on the fleishik counter. As long as the counters were clean and dry, there'd be no transfer of flavor and everything is still fine. Number 7, is it okay to put hot pots onto a treif countertop as long as it's clean? L'chatchila, no. You don't put a hot kosher pot on a treif countertop. If you did, and the countertop was clean and dry, it's fine. But it's not l'chatchila. L'chatchila, you don't put a hot kosher pot on a treif countertop. Number 8. If some hot food falls onto the treif but clean countertop, can I put it back into the pan? So the halacha is, if the treif countertop is clean, and I'm assuming it has not been treif benyomo, so to speak, in the past 24 hours, which means you didn't pour on your countertop milchiks and fleishiks in the past 24 hours at the same spot where the hot food fell. So we're going to go with an assumption that your clean treif countertop is an eino benyomo. So any hot food that falls on the eino benyomo countertop is fine. So again, l'chatchila, we do not put hot food directly on a clean treif countertop. But if it fell, hot kosher food falls onto a treif clean countertop, you can pick it up and put it back into the pan. Number 9. When I'm cutting, peeling vegetables and one falls into the garbage, do I have to say goodbye to that food or can I wash it off and still use it? If something fell into the trash, you can always wash it or peel it again, re-peel another layer off and then use it. The issue is contact with whatever else is in there and you're afraid it touched milchiks or fleishiks. So as long as you rinse it off and peel and scrub off whatever could have come in contact with it, you'll be fine. Number 10. I sent my daughter to a babysitter with separate sippy cups for milchiks and fleishiks. The babysitter said that people don't usually send two. Is it true that it is not necessary? And if it is true, would it need to be cleaned in the bathroom sink? So when I teach this halacha, I recommend separate sippy cups. There is a book called The Jewish Kitchen that was compiled of Psukim from Rav Forsheimer Shlita in Lakewood. And he writes that it is preferable to have separate baby bottles and sippy cups for milchik and fleishik. I suspect many people don't, but it's preferable. It is ideal to do that. The problem you can run into if you use the same cup is if there's residue of milchiks or fleishiks on the cup and it's washed with hot water, you're going to make the sippy cup eventually treif. So unless you always wash it with cold water, it would make sense to me to have separate milchiks and fleishiks. And even if the babysitter says people don't usually send both, I think it makes sense to have separate. Again, it's possible, it's not necessary. If you make sure to wash them cold, you don't have to wash in the bathroom sink, just basically cold water and soap instead of hot water. There's a similar question, actually, in number 17. Can a high chair tray be used for fleishiks and milchiks? And again, Reb Forsheimer writes in his Kuntres that it is a common practice for high chair trays to be used for both milchiks and fleishiks. But the assumption is you're not using it with hot food. You don't give a baby hot food. So if it's not Yatzaledes Bo, it's not a problem. And you wash it off with cold water. And he makes a note that if you have two sinks, you wash it in the same sink as the food on the tray. So if you serve fleishiks, so wash it off in the fleishik sink. If you serve milchiks, wash in the milchik sink. But the assumption is you're never using hot food on the high chair tray, and therefore it can be used interchangeably for milchiks and fleishiks. And when you wash it, you shouldn't use hot water, just cold water and soap. I am told that there are high chair trays with separate different types of trays you can use, or maybe even inserts on the tray. So then people can easily have one for milchiks and fleishiks. But lahalach, it's not required, and people for many, many years, decades, did not have separate high chair trays. But again, the assumption is you're not giving hot food to a child in the high chair. Number 11, do halachas that apply to adults apply the same for babies and young children? So I would say no, because adults eat hot food. Adults eat food that is Yatzaledes Bo. Babies and toddlers do not. And that's why we have this distinction. So for babies and toddlers, we can have one tray for both. For adults, that would not be acceptable. Number 12 actually is a repeat of previous question. So we're going to skip that thing, the same as number 6. 13. Is there any problem with a towel that is used in the kitchen for drying hands and items? Do you need to make sure that if drying items out of fleishik, you can need a different towel than the one that was used to dry milchiks? Basically, do you need separate dish towels? And if you dried your hands and had some residue after washing, what would be then? So let's put it this way. Definitely you should have separate dish towels for milchiks and fleishiks. I think that is a norm in a Jewish kitchen. You have separate dish towels. Usually they're color coordinated for milchiks and fleishiks. If you had a clean dish towel straight out of the washing machine and dryer, of course, at that point, it is parv, and it could be used for anything you want. But basically, a dish towel that's used for milchiks, I would not recommend using for fleishiks, and vice versa. As far as having a hand towel, and then using the same hand towel to dry dishes, if there's any residue on the hand towel, it probably is not a good idea to use it. On the other hand, if you did, most likely I would say everything is fine because whatever residue was there was bottle and didn't really make an effect and should not be an issue. So I do think you should have separate dish towels to dry your milchiks and fleishiks, or I should say don't use the same towel for both. And as far as hand towels, I don't think anything's really going to happen if you did use your hand towel. If you're really concerned that there was some residue on your hands that you dried onto the towel, you probably should just wash that towel and not leave it in the kitchen. Tevilas Kalim, 14. Does all this sticky residue need to be off if you want to toivel jars? What if it doesn't come off, and how long should we be spending on it? So, first of all, the question is addressing jars. If you purchase applesauce, pickles, whatever, and you choose to use that jar to make your own applesauce or pickles or something else, I would tell you not to tovel it at all. It doesn't need tevila. If you purchase any other kind of dish or pan that comes with a sticky type of tag that's glued to the surface, so you do have to get it off, and we try to get the whole thing off. The rule of thumb is anything that bothers us, if we care about it, means say that we don't want it there, it becomes a chatzitza, and the tevila will not be effective. So even if it's a miut, even if it's a small amount, if we're makbid about it, if it bothers us, we don't like it there, we don't want people to see it there, then it should come off. There are certain chemicals that people use, like things called goo off. Some things, if you soak in water for a while, it will just come off. But those things really should come off before you tovel it. Again, how long should you spend on it? It's not a question of how long you should spend on it. If it's something tiny that no one notices and no one cares about, at that point, I don't think it's an issue. But if it's something that can be removed and probably should be removed, just maybe do it smart with a certain type of chemical, like I said, or soak it for 20 minutes before you try to take it off. Number 15, is there ever a time you can reuse an aluminum pan without toveling it? Aluminum disposable pans is a matter of machlokes. If you look at the OU website, they'll tell you in their Hilchos Tevilas Kelim, you never have to tovel an aluminum pan ever, no matter what. Then there are many poskim who say you can use it once without toveling it. If you use it more than once, you have to tovel it. And then there are some who say that you should tovel an aluminum pan, disposable aluminum pan, even before using it once. That you should never use it at all before it's toveled. The halacha is things that need tevila should be toveled before you use them even the first time. There's no one free use before you tovel it. And there are poskim who hold that applies to disposable aluminum pans as well. So as far as practical halacha is concerned, my personal feeling is that one should never use an aluminum pan without toveling it first. But as I said, many poskim say you can use it once. I know a lady called me up and said she used an aluminum disposable pan to put in salad vegetables. And now she wants to know if she can use it once to bake in it. In other words, did putting in salad vegetables use up her one-time use? And I think according to those who hold you get one use, that was the one use. It doesn't make a difference if you use it to make a salad or if you use it to bake in. Using it is using it. It doesn't make a difference. Number 16 begins Shilas of the sink. What happens if milchiks, fleishiks, utensils get mixed up? One is washing dishes and realizes that there's a fleishik spoon in the milchik sink, or finds it in the dish rack already washed. What is the halacha? The sink could be a scary place for possibly trafing up your kitchen. Some people have two sinks, one designated milchik, one designated fleishik. Some people have one sink, which is essentially a traf sink. And number 19 asks, what's the proper way to use one sink for milchiks and fleishiks? So if you have one sink, you can use a treif sink, but we have to have some kind of dish rack inside the sink, and we don't put our dishes directly on the sink surface, but rather on a dish rack. Some people are more strict and use like a bowl, a basin, a plastic wash basin, whatever, to put the dishes in. I don't think that's necessarily the halacha. A rack with easy drainage is fine. You just don't put the dishes directly down on the sink surface. Now, if you find a fleishik spoon in a designated milchik sink or on the milchik rack with other milchik dishes, the only time there's going to be a problem of a transfer of flavor between the utensils is when there's actual residue on the utensil. And the water is yatzaledes bo hot. That means it has to be really pretty hot water. And the hot water directly hits the two utensils at the same time. So if I have a dirty spoon with yogurt on it and a dirty spoon with meat broth, and I have them both in my hand at the same time, and I put them under hot water in the sink, I've just trafed up both of those spoons. That's usually not what happens. Usually you're washing dishes and you see, oh, what's that fleshy spoon doing in the milchik sink? It's just sitting there. The halacha is, you see it in there, just take it out, rinse it off with cold water and soap, and it's fine. And if it came in contact with things in the milchik sink, you should rinse those off with cold water and soap as well. If you have one sink and you find in the same sink the wrong utensil, fleishiks among milchiks or vice versa, if they weren't washed together, then you just take it and rinse it off with cold water and soap, and it's fine. The fact that they sat together in the sink is not going to create a problem. If they are located directly under the faucet, and when you turn on the hot water hit it directly, it's the same then as if I held it in my hand under the hot water, that would be a problem. So, assuming there's no direct flow of hot water from the faucet onto milchiks and fleishiks together at the same time, it should be okay. So the bottom line is, it's possible to have a problem, but it's not that common to have a problem. The basic rule is, then again, when you have one sink, to have separate sink racks, and of course try to keep everything segregated. If you found the fleishik spoon in the milchik sink, I would tell you to take it out, wash it off, make sure there's nothing fleishik in the milchik sink, and go on with your dishes. If you find it in the dish rack already washed, so we know we washed it, if you washed your utensils one at a time, so it's not a question of affecting other utensils, the only issue will be, let's say I find this fleishik spoon in my milchik dish rack. I just finished washing all the dishes, and it's drying in this rack with all the milchik dishes, and I see a fleishik dish that I obviously just washed. If the sponge that I used, my milchik sponge, had dairy residue on the sponge when I washed that fleishik spoon, and the water was hot, yatsa ledespo, then the residue from the sponge would make the spoon treif. If there was no dairy residue in the sponge, then the fleishik spoon would still remain fleishik and it wouldn't be treif. Basically, the way to avoid making that spoon treif, even with a milchik sponge, would be either there was no dairy residue. Maybe if there was soap in the sponge, it would ruin the flavor of the residue. That alone, if that was the only mitigating circumstance, I don't think that's enough. If you're not sure how hot the water was, and there was soap in the sponge, I would say it's okay. But if the water was really hot, and there was residue in the sponge, I think you probably trafed up that spoon. Number 17. So a high chair tray is for milchiks and fleishiks. You wash it in the sink of its current use. That's what we all mentioned before. If it was clean and then had chicken on it, can I wash it in the fleishik sink even though it was dairy before? So that's what we said. If you are using your high chair tray for foods that aren't hot, then you wash it off in the sink of the current use. So if it was most recently used with fleishiks, you wash it in the fleishik sink. If it was most recently used for dairy, you wash it in the dairy sink. Always with soap and cold water. Don't use hot water if you're using the high chair tray for both milks and fleishiks. Number 18, what do you do if you come home and find your milchik sponge sitting in the same container as your fleishik sponge? So first of all, we want to have separate sponges for milchiks and fleishiks, and we recommend having separate holders for the two sponges. You come home and you find they're together. Or the pair of sponges with the milchik fleishik sponge. Or if your fleishik sponge falls into the milchik sink. Well, in the last situation where the sponge fell into the sink, I don't think anything happened just because it fell into the sink. I would tell you to rinse out the sink with cold water, and if there was any residue on the sponge, with some soap. Ideally, you should rinse out your sponges after using them so that there's no residue in your sponge after you're done with it. I don't think a sponge that fell into the wrong sink would do anything to the sink, or the sponge for that matter. As far as finding the sponge in the wrong place, if the assumption is the cleaning lady put it in the wrong place, I don't think that would be a problem to put it back in the right place. Again, if you used the milchik sponge to wash all your fleishik dishes, or the fleishik sponge to wash all your milchik dishes, then you would have a problem if there was residue in the sponge. That would affect your dishes. If the sponge was clean, then the dishes are fine, but the sponge has to be replaced. You can't keep that sponge. Once I use the milchik sponge for fleishik dishes, the sponge for sure is treif. The only question is, are your dishes treif? So if the sponge was clean, it would not affect your dishes. If the sponge was dirty, then again, it gets into, did you add soap to the sponge, and was the water not that hot? If the water wasn't so hot and there was soap in the sponge, it wouldn't affect your dishes either. Number 20. We did 19. Number 20. If I warm a bottle of milk, the milk is in a liner, for the baby in the washing cup, does the washing cup become milchik? If it does, can I put it in the sink to warm a bottle if there are fleishik dishes in the sink? When you fill a washing cup with hot water, the washing cup is a kli sheni. When I add the milk in the liner to the washing cup, it's in a kli sheni. It's not going to make the washing cup milchiks. So the washing cup remains parav, and then there are no issues with putting it in the fleishik dishes, whatever. The washing cup will not change status. 21. Do I need a separate sink insert for parav? Is it okay that I use either a milchik or fleishik sink insert when I'm washing parav, assuming the insert is clean? Is it okay to put them together with other fleishik or milchik utensils drying? I think that a person should have a separate parav insert. If you have a milchik or fleishik sink exclusively, you should get a rack or insert, whatever, for your parav. If you only have one sink, then you should have a rack for fleishik, a rack for milchik, and a rack for parav. If you are finished washing it and you want it to dry, so I have said in the past that I think you should have a parav drying rack. Most people look at me like, where does that come from? And no one's ever seen it. I don't think anything's really going to happen if you put your parav clean dish on a clean fleishik or milchik drying rack. But again, we go with the assumption that the drying rack is in fact clean because you only put clean dishes on the drying rack. So if in fact it's a clean drying rack, I don't think anything's going to happen if you use parav, and I suspect that's what most people do. They just put their parav to dry wherever. As long as it's clean, it shouldn't make a difference. The safe oven for last. Oven shilas, a lot of different opinions about how to deal with ovens. Number 22, how does one properly use one oven for milchiks and fleishiks? What is allowed to be cooked together in the oven, uncovered, covered, when kashering the oven is necessary, which foods cause oven to become milchiks and fleishiks? Do you have to kasher every time between the milchiks and fleishiks when it's uncovered? So, if you have different ovens, that's great, but many of us have one oven, and we're going to use that one oven for everything. So, how does that work? There are different opinions, and a lot of it is chumrah, and if you conduct yourself with various chumras, that's wonderful. I'm going to explain to you how I learned the halacha and teach the halacha, but again, if you are more strict, that's fine. For instance, I know a lot of people will have their single oven for only fleishiks and parav, and milchiks will be used in a toaster oven. They will not even put milchiks in the regular oven. And that's not the halacha, that is a chumrah. As far as using one oven for milchiks and fleishiks and how it changes status and how it gets the status, so what happens is as follows. An oven that is clean, a clean oven, will not be milchiks or fleishiks just because I put milchiks or fleishiks into that oven. It only becomes milchiks or fleishiks when something dairy or meaty spills on the oven surface. If nothing would ever spill or splatter, that oven would remain 100% parav the whole time. The only way that an oven b'milchus fleishiks is through, like I said, splatters or spills, or one other scenario, which is not that common, and that is cooking in the oven. Cooking in the oven means I use my oven to make a soup. It starts off liquid, it ends off liquid, and it cooks up in the oven without a cover. So it's constantly steaming up. Whenever you cook on the stove a pot of soup, you see the steam come up on top if it's not covered. That's what's happening in your oven if it's not covered. That would also give the oven the status of the food that you were cooking in the oven. But that's very uncommon. That's not a normal use of the oven. So, in theory, an oven could stay parv. In practice, I believe most ovens become fleishik because when meat gets hot, the fat will splatter and pop, and that's why you see stains on your oven wall. And when that happens, your oven becomes fleishik. I don't think ovens will generally become milchik at all unless you're like literally putting something milchik directly on the oven floor without a pan, but it's like so uncommon. You know, take a piece and stick it in your oven floor. No one's doing that. So your oven is going to really stay. There's no real way in my mind to make an oven milchik. The oven will become fleishik when the meat splatters. And again, if you theoretically are cooking something in the oven, that would make it the status of the thing that you were cooking. So going with the assumption that our ovens, a single oven will become fleishik because you will make chicken uncovered or things like that uncovered and it would splatter. So now the halacha is as follows. It is forbidden to bake milchik and fleishik simultaneously in the oven uncovered. It is permitted to bake parv and fleishik simultaneously, but if I did, then the parv cannot be eaten with dairy. So if I make a potato kugel simultaneously with chicken and they're both uncovered, the potato kugel cannot be eaten with sour cream, cottage cheese, or milk, but it won't make you 6 hours fleishik either. So if you take a piece of that potato kugel, which is essentially parv, you will not become 6 hours fleishik. You can't eat it with dairy, but you will not be 6 hours fleishik. If I wanted to use my oven for a potato kugel that it should be 100% parv, even to be eaten with milchik, then what I would have to do is make sure that there's nothing fleishik in the oven when I make the potato kugel. So I'm not putting my tray of chicken in with it. But what about the walls? If the walls or floor of the oven have sticky, greasy residue, then I am making my potato kugel with fleishik at the same time. So in order to make sure my kugel is 100% parv, I would have to make sure that there's no stains in my oven that are greasy. What I mean is, it's very likely your oven may have black, charred stains. By the time the stain is charred black, it's not considered food anymore. It's irrelevant. So if it's still sticky, that's the concern. So if you have a fleishik oven and you want to make a parv potato kugel, I would tell you to look in your oven and see if it's clean. If you see a stain when the oven is cold, touch it and see, is it sticky? If it's sticky, you got to clean it off. If it's not sticky, if it's hard, black, baked in, then I would tell you your oven is fleishik, but clean. There's nothing fleishik in the oven. When you have a fleishik oven that's clean and nothing fleishik in the oven, you can put parv in the same oven and parv remains parv. The reason this is different from the classic fleishik kalim is because if I have a fleishik 6-quart pot and I cook a parv soup in that pot, the parv soup is in direct contact with the fleishik pot. And that's why we call it a fleishik kalim soup. But in an oven, the food is never touching the oven. The food is in its own pan, sitting on a rack in the airspace of the oven chamber. So it's not the same as actually cooking in a fleishik pot. So therefore, it can be entirely parv as long as the oven is perfectly clean. So if you have a fleishik oven, and that's again my assumption, the oven will become fleishik if you cook fleishik or bake fleishik uncovered. if the oven is clean, the oven can be used for parv and it will remain parv. Again, it's not a parv oven, it's a fleshek oven, but it will not affect the parv food that you bake in that oven. And in fact, lahalocha, again, not lachuma, but lahalocha, even if you were to make dairy in your fleshek oven, the dairy will not transfer and make the oven treif, and the fleshiks of the oven will not treif up your dairy. So if I have a fleshik clean oven, in my opinion, you can put pizza on a pan directly in that oven, and nothing's going to happen. It will not make the pizza fleshiks, it won't make the oven milchiks. It's fine. Again, many of you would never dream of doing that at home, and that's fine. You don't have to do it. But la halacha, I don't think there's any transfer when you bake pizza in a fleshik oven. And it doesn't have to be covered, because there's just nothing's happening, as long as the oven is clean. So when I have one oven that I want to use for milchiks and fleshiks, I don't think the halacha requires any burning out in between. What the halacha requires is to make sure the oven is clean, that there's no residue of the previous use in the oven. I do believe the OU is of the philosophy that one should burn out the oven for an hour before going for milchiks and fleshiks. And I know that many rabbanim will suggest that putting the oven on 500 or 550 degrees for 1 hour between milchiks and fleshiks. My feeling is if you look and see the oven is clean, it's the same. There's no difference in halacha. But if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But I do think the halacha, as long as the oven is clean, you can use one after the other and it's not an issue. If you are making something dairy in a fleshik oven and you want to make sure it stays fleshik, it doesn't get treif, make sure the milchik thing you're making isn't going to spill over the sides and get onto the rack or spill into the oven. If you're making a quiche, something, a souffle that may rise up over the sides of the pot and spill, you should make sure to line the rack with foil underneath your pot or pan to make sure it does not spill over onto your fleshik oven. As far as covering foods in the oven, if you are making two things simultaneously covered, then the halacha is there'll be no transfer of flavor. So the halacha says we don't make fish and meat in the oven at the same time. If I cover them, you can do that. Many times people today use disposable pans, and I've had many situations where the pan has a hole and it starts dripping. That's a big problem. This lady, I forgot what she had, chicken on top, fish on bottom, or vice versa. And the one whatever was on top was dripping right into the pan on bottom. That's a big problem. So when you have regular pans, it's not going to happen. But if you're using disposables and you're using things like fish and chicken or meat that should not be made together, so you cover them up, which is fine, you have to make sure they're not going to drip onto each other either. Number 23, if one prepares parv food and then places it on a fleshik or milchik pan that is covered in foil to bake, is it still considered parv? Can it be served with anything? So if I were to make a parv food in a fleshik pan, since it's directly in the fleshik pan, it's fleshik kalim, and the same is true if they did milchik. So what you want to do is avoid that and line it with foil. I would say that if you lined it with heavy-duty foil, and the foil does not rip, then it is still considered parv. It's perfectly parv. But you have to make sure this foil does not tear. If the foil tears, you're going to have a problem. As long as the foil is intact, so I'd say use heavy-duty foil, it would still remain parv, even though the foil is over a fleshik or milchik baking pan. 24, if I have a parv oven, can I cover everything once, all fleshiks or milchiks, and would that be sufficient, or do I designate it as either milchiks or fleshiks and double up everything else? So again, the way I explain it, you can designate your oven as fleshiks, and doesn't mean you have to wrap everything else. The only things you'd have to wrap are things that would cook or drip. I know some people make a milchik lasagna where the noodles cook in the oven, but then you cover that. It's always covered with foil. So my feeling is you can put that into a fleshik oven, as long as I'll probably line the bottom also to make sure nothing drips over. 25, when double wrapping a dish, does it mean double foiling the top or double wrapping all the way around? So according to my understanding, the only time I would double wrap a dish is if I had a treif oven. If I'm on vacation someplace and there's a treif oven, or this is what happens when you fly and they give you a kosher meal, so everything is double wrapped. Double wrapping means it's all the way around double wrapped. My recommendation is that if you have a disposable pan, you should use two pans. If you have a 9x13, put a second 9x13 under the first. That's double wrapped on the bottom. Then two layers of heavy-duty foil on top, and that's your double wrapped. But it's not enough just to double wrap the top. We want the whole thing on all sides, all around. So two pans and two covers should be perfect. 26, if I bake a parv item, brownies, cake, challah, in a fleishik oven, are the baked goods parv or fleishik kalim? So again, if the oven is clean, if the fleishik oven is clean, there's no sticky meat greasy residue, there may be some black char, but that's it, then even though it's a fleishik oven, the brownies, cake, and challah will be 100% parv, and that gets into number 27 as well. When you make challah in this fleishik oven, can you put cheese on it? So as long as the oven is clean, the challah is 100% parv. If you make your challah in the oven simultaneous with chicken, then your challah is not going to be parv unless the chicken is covered. If the chicken is covered, then the challah will remain parv. It has to be totally covered. It doesn't have to be double covered, but it should be totally covered. But usually people make the challah in an empty oven, just challah in the oven. As long as the oven is clean, the parv remains 100% parv. It doesn't have the status of fleishik kalim. 28. If I make something parv in a fleishik oven or microwave, can I later warm it in the milchik oven or microwave? Does it make a difference if the fleishik oven is ainah b'nyomu or if the parv is covered while cooking? So again, if I made parv in my fleishik oven and it remained 100% parv because the oven was clean, it makes no difference which microwave or oven you re-warm it in. If I use a fleishik microwave, I'm less convinced about microwaves. Microwaves, I agree with the contemporary thinking of most poskim, you should have a separate milchus and fleishik's microwave. Microwaves are typically dirty. Things always splatter, things always spill, and even when things are double covered, the plastic always rips. I always get the shilas. This poor lady calls me up. She double wrapped her cheese, whatever, and put in a fleishik microwave. The plastic ripped, this cheese all over her fleishik microwave. Now what should she do? It's a very common problem. If you're attempting to use milchiks and fleishiks or vice versa with microwaves, I really think it makes sense to have separate microwaves. So if I made something parv in a fleishik microwave, I would consider that the same as a legitimate fleishik kalim, and I would not recommend using that with dairy. That to me is more close to the pot, because I think there's going to be residue inside that microwave. It's very hard to really get a clean microwave unless it's like a brand new microwave. Typically, I would assume that's more, be more careful with that than I would with a regular oven.